Thank you so much, Brother Robert Webster, for allowing me to speak before you. It's just a privilege, and man, I know it's been a long time coming because he's been asking me for a while, to come by and I help out at Stony Island sometimes, preach over there.
Yes.
And I never came out this way, but I told him, yeah, I'll do it. I'll definitely do it. The last time I saw him, I said, you know what, just throw me down whenever. Just let me know at least a week in time. And I'll be able to do it. So I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad to see so many familiar faces, too. A lot of you all do know me. EJ. You have a good memory, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you as well. You were not that talkative when I first met you. You know, he used to just sit and watch, and maybe because you were afraid of the iguana, but he would smile and just, you know, sit there and just watch. I'm like, this guy, what's wrong with him? He doesn't say too much. But now you can't stop him.
Yeah.
Telling jokes and things like that. It's good to see.
Amen.
Grown in power and voice, and you got me singing those songs. I almost forgot I had to preach, so I had to, save my voice.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you for those songs.
Yes,
thank
sir.
Everybody for just being able to, help out behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, all right?
Yes, sir.
God is well pleased with your work. Now, I'm also just thankful to be in front of my parents.
Mm-hmm,
front
mm-hmm.
row, I know they'd be sitting in the front row like this. Ridiculous. Right?
That's what they
said. You're in my face. let me just get myself together here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Brother Robert, when we were discussing what to speak on, I just said, is there any kind of topic and something like that? And he said, give it a thought, and he let me know later on. He said, you know what? My people don't do nothing around here. He said, I need something about stewardship. So I'm just playing. Everybody started looking at my head. No, I'm just playing. But he did say, you know what? We want to talk to people and get them engaged and let them know that they have something to give.
Yes, sir.
Amen. God put things in their lives for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him I'm going to bring that point home today.
Right? Amen.
So,
yes, sir.
So come with me to 1 Chronicles, which we read earlier. But I'm just going to pull a couple points from there and some other verses, because as I listen to Brother Robert Webster, he throws out a lot of Bible verses, right? Is never any less than 10 Bible verses that he's going to throw out. So I'm going to throw out probably 6 something like that. But we're going to start here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And this background, just to give you a little background, definitely read it for yourself. But yes. King David, he was a man of valor. He was a man of, he fought lions, tigers, and bears, right? Somebody say, oh my, yeah. He was one who was very good at finding ways to beat enemies, even if they were outnumbered. Now, I definitely believe it was God allowing him to win.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
It's
amen.
Not himself.
That's
but
right.
God put him in places and positions to prepare him,
mm-hmm.
right, to meet tasks that was going to come before him.
Yes.
I think he does that the same with us today.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this fellow David, he grew older, and he developed his kingdom after that crazy Saul had his kingdom before. And, he didn't do what he was supposed to do in the eyes of the Lord, so God said, I'm going to give it to David, right? David had the heart of God. Even though he made mistakes, he was said to have the heart of God. Well, he repented, right? He would shake the dust off and say, I am back, Lord. Thank you for taking me out of the miry clay, right?
Yes.
He didn't stop. He didn't give up. We all make mistakes.
Yes.
And it's crazy how he uses some of the wildest mistakes in us, right?
Mm-hmm.
To really get the most out of us.
Yes.
And David, he was a man of valor. He fought fights, and he had blood on his hands. So God told him, it's going to be a time where I want my house built.
Yes.
You could do some planning. You could develop it and get things into work. But you will not be the one who leads the people in building my house, all right? Because your hands, they're bloody hands.
Yes.
Right? So I'm going to leave that to your son, Solomon. Then Solomon came after. Young Solomon, you all know, young, didn't know much. He had a lot of people that he was going to be able to lead someday.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know what to ask for. That's the same way I am sometimes. If I'm going to lead some people and I look at how people are, I'm like, Lord. Yeah. You know, Lord, I mean, I teach and preach, but leading the people, that's a whole nother thing. So he asked for wisdom, right? And we know how that happened. God gave him other things. Right? He said, listen, you are seeking the kingdom first.
Yes.
You are seeking leading my people in a way, in a godly way first. You didn't ask for riches, right? You didn't ask for more power. You just asked for wisdom to lead the people. So I'm going to give you all those other things, right? Well, here we see David passing on that torch to Solomon. And before he passes that torch, he tells the people, look, we have got a great thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
God has given us some great things. Every one of us here has great things, and he has poured it into your lives for a reason. Now, these people started giving. I mean, giving. And if you just look at verse 9, it wasn't read earlier, but look at verse 9. It says, then the people, this again is 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9. Then the people rejoiced because these had given willingly, for with a whole and blameless heart they had offered freely to the Lord. King David also rejoiced greatly. So you see, these people had a heart to give. Most of the time, when you're given something, you feel like something's coming out of you, right?
Mm.
You have less, so therefore, why am I rejoicing? But these people were giving freely and loving it.
Yes, sir.
Someone say loving it.
Loving it.
Yes, giving and loving it. And I believe, again, that's why God pours into our lives. We have it for a reason. We're going to learn some things today. If you didn't know, you're going to learn something today, all right? That you are to be a steward of what God gives you. So the title would be called, What Do You Have to Offer?
All right.
What do you have to offer? Mm. All right, this is a lesson where you have to look inside yourself and think about what God has poured into your life, what he is doing with your life, what he has given you, those talents, those treasures, right? The time. And really, what are we doing with it?
Yes.
That's what this lesson is about.
Yes.
But if you see, again, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we get down to verse number 14, and there's so much that was given. I'm not going to go over that just for sake of time, right? But he says, but who am I? This is David. And what are my people that we should retain strength? Now, I'm reading out of the Amplified translation. So, mm-hmm. This is, you know, it just clarifies some things, right? I recommend every Christian who's serious in Bible study, that should be every Christian, right? Go out and get one, or at least utilize it online, all right? Because it brings out some things out of the natural Hebrew or the Greek that you don't see just reading it from one translation, all right?
Okay.
So that's just a side note. But so I'm reading out of that, and it says in verse number 15, we are strangers before you, sojourners. That sounds like what we are today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Peter tells us that we are sojourners, just passing through.
Yes.
And how many more people have to die for we to not understand that we're not living here forever?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Kobe Bryant, right?
Right.
I mean, he had a will. He had one of the strongest wills ever known to man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, and on the basketball court, I don't know anyone who was tougher. Broken nose, whatever. He's going to try to play through it. Broken fingers, he's trying to tape it up, get right back to the game. He had a strong will. I don't care how strong your will is. Guess what? You got an appointment to meet.
Yes, right.
Amen.
Yes, we all do.
Amen.
All right. Now, there's a passing through that we are doing here. That's why he says we are sojourners.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Yes.
And even more so those who are in Christ, because we know, right, that life is but a vapor. It's but a vapor. So what we do here, knowing that this is not our home, all matters for our eternal success. Amen?
Amen.
So what he's telling us here, even them, they understand they were strangers because they did not have a land of their own until this time. But interesting enough, he's still calling them strangers before you and sojourners. As all our fathers were, our days on earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope or expectation of remaining. Our Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build your house for your holy name and the token of your presence comes from your hand and is all your own. Do you see what David is? He's giving them a lesson. He's teaching them while glorifying God. He's teaching the people like, look, we only giving back to what was already here.
Yes, yes.
It came from his hand.
Yes.
It's not ours.
Amen.
So nothing we have, including our very life, It's ours, right? So he says, we're just giving it back. And now look at verse number 17. I know also, my God, that you tried the heart in delight in uprightness. You tried the heart. We know that. And in the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy your people who are present here offer voluntarily and freely to you. Yes, yes, yes. And, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the minds of your people. This is the same prayer we have to be praying for ourselves today. That we give, and we give cheerfully, and we keep this purpose in this heart. Right? Where what God gives us, we just are generous in giving it to the kingdom.
Yes.
First and foremost, and obviously we'll talk about how we give it to the world. And then on 19, he says, I give to Solomon, my son, a blameless heart to keep your commandments, testimonies, and statutes, and to do all that is necessary to build the palace for which I have made provision. So again, he's telling him, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm going to pass it on, right? That's kind of like what the Bible tells about children being those arrows of a parent, right?
Yes,
they can only go so far.
Mm-hmm.
And they shoot the child to go further than they could go.
Right?
So he's doing that, but he's not doing that without preparing them, right? So we see this background, and guess what? It's like I said, it's the same back in David's time, Solomon's time. God has created each of us with those with abilities, talents, and has given us certain possessions that we enjoy. It is important to remember that each of these things, these blessings, however, was given to us by God ultimately to serve his purpose.
Mm.
Not our purpose, his purpose. I know that could be hard to understand. You're saying, he gave it to me. He gave it to me.
Mm.
We're going to talk about management of what God gives to us, all right? When we grasp this, we see the necessity to manage or be stewards of what we have. So let's see some of the specific areas in which we are told to practice stewardship. All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. This one just tells us that we need to be trustworthy. A steward is called to be trustworthy.
Yes, yes.
It says, so then, let us... That is, let us who minister, who serve, be regarded as servants as Christ and stewards, trustees, administrators of the mysteries of God that he chooses to reveal. In this case, moreover, it is required, it is essential, it is demanded of stewards that one be found faithful and trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells us, it is demanded. When something is put in your lap by God Almighty, he demands. Now, you might say, I didn't ask for it, God. I didn't ask for it, right? Some of us look at our parents and say, I didn't ask to be born. You ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Right? Like, well, guess what? God has created you. He's put things into your life. He's put things into your life. He has made you a manager of it, whether you like it or not, all right? You are a manager of it. And you don't have to be. But a good steward is demanded to be trustworthy with what is put in their hands.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
Go just a couple chapters over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. You all know this one. Talks about bringing God glory in our body. Your body was given to you. You are not your body. Your body was given to you, all right? So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. You all know, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? All stewards. When we talk about stewardship, we have received gift, right?
Yes.
It's gift. It's not owed to us. It's just something that God has graced us with. It's just God's grace, right? So we are being filled with God's grace. Did you not know that?
Mm.
Does anybody in here know that?
Yes, sir.
You are filled. I'm not saying you have a little of God's grace. You are filled with God's grace. And I hope I'm talking to some people who understand that.
Yes, sir.
We are filled with God's grace. Grace upon grace.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had time to talk about that, but let's keep on going. So he says, you are not your own.
Mm.
You're not your own property. Again, you can look to God and say, I did not ask for this.
Yes, yes.
It don't matter. Listen, when you become a child of God, he has placed his spirit in you. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to keep filling it up with the word of God. But it connects with your soul and your spirit. And guess what? You can't help but to know that he lives in you.
Yes.
He abides in you. Therefore, you are his property. Just as if I was to buy you, you become my property. Mm-hmm. Now, thank God, you know, we're not in that business here.
Yes.
But think about God purchasing you. He purchased you. He cleansed you. Yes, you are his house. You are his house. So guess what? Just like if I was to buy a house, purchase that property, I clean that house real good, especially that bathtub. I'm cleaning it out, right?
Yes.
And I'm not just cleaning it with water. That's baptism. No, you know, some people like to be clean with just water. Mm-hmm. You can't clean nothing really good with just water. You need some soap. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit is that soap. So God is cleaning us with that soap. He bought us. He purchased us. He's not renting us. Mm-hmm. Some of us want to act like he rents us. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, you know, we give him a month. Did you pay your dues, God? Did you pay your dues? Mm. No. He purchased us with his blood. Amen. So again, that's why he's reminding them, and I'm reminding you just in case you didn't know. You were bought with a price. You are not your own. You are somebody else's property. They live in you. So you were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. So then honor and glorify God with your body. With your body. So again, you are not your body, right? You are not your body. You are soul. You are spirit. Now, you've been given a body. One day, we're going to put this body off. But while you're in this body, use that body, he's saying, to glorify God.
Yes.
We'll talk more about that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 8 through 11. This passage reminds us that God's grace, it abounds in us to be generous and giving. Now, you all read, and you all heard it read for a collection of pill probably many times, where it says, you know, give, right? Give. God loves a cheerful giver, right? You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly, right? You sow generously, you reap generously, right? But let's go after that. Verse number 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace. That's earthly blessings. That's favor. He can make it come in abundance to you so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything. Now listen, is there anyone in this audience who feels like they don't have their needs met?
Yeah, that's oftentimes.
Guess what? It's not because of God. My Lord. If you don't have your emotional needs met, if you don't have your physical needs met, it's not because of God. Sometimes we are just mismanaging what God places in our lives.
Right.
I beg to say, almost all the time, that's what it is.
Yes, yes.
We are mismanaging. We are not being good stewards. We are not living in our means. We are striving to keep up with others. But we know the Bible talks about that person who runs around with a purse with a hole in it. They're never full. You'll never be filled like that, right? If you're not being filled with God, you're never going to have enough. But he says God is able to make every grace and abundance in you. Why? Why would he do that? Why would he? See, someone would look at this verse and they start getting excited. Yes! Yes! Mm-hmm. Joel Osteen says this verse and everybody start jumping out. Yes!
Yes!
He's able to make everything abound in us, right? That sounds good, but he does it for a reason. Mm-hmm. Why would he do it? Let's see what he says. He says, so that you have complete sufficiency in everything. That means being completely sufficient in him. Mm-hmm. And have the abundance of every or for every good work and act of charity. So why would he make your life abound? Why does he give us the car, the house, right? Even the little blessings we have, whether it's a broom or a lawnmower. Guess what? You can give God glory from that. He wants you to abound generously. And this is how we get the world's attention, by giving generously. You know, it's one thing to open doors for people, right? Everybody does that nowadays, right? You just got some basic home training. Don't take much, right? Everybody don't do it, but most people should do it. Most people do it. There's people all over the world that do it in different religions. They do it, right? There's people who smile. They're being taught to smile, right? Say hi, thank you, all those things. That's just basic Kermit courtesy. Now, if you call yourself a Christian and you say, that's what I do, and that's my act, listen, you're not going far enough, all right? That's not how you get the world's attention. You got to go out of what something, it takes something out of you. Amen. To give.
Yeah.
So that God can really get the glory.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, now, this ain't for everybody. I don't even cut my own grass. I'd rather pay somebody. But something, it's going to take something where you really service somebody. Random acts of kindness that really go out your way. Whether it's you just stand in the line and someone orders something for you and you say, I got that today. Some of us are blessed with money. You could do that. Some of you, maybe you're just blessed with time. You don't got no money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you could spend some time listening to somebody who needs to be heard. Right?
Yes.
You may not have to say much. You just listen. Right? You may have something that everybody don't have. It's patience.
Yes.
Right? But either way, using those things and using them in a way that the world doesn't use them. You see what I'm saying? That's what gets somebody thinking, like, what is, why are they doing this for me, right? Yeah. Why is this person out here cutting my grass, right? That's something that you can start developing a rapport. And then you tie it into, I do it because I'm just a conduit of God's grace.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? I'm just a channel of God's grace. What he puts in me, it comes out.
Yes.
And hopefully into other people's lives, all right? Now let's skip verse 10. I mean, let's get down to verse 10, where he says, now he who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing. You see that? Again, so he talks about reaping, sowing. We covered that in the verses before, right? Well, he says that who supplies the seed for the sower? It's God.
Yes, sir.
All right, so he's saying he or God who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed, not just for any reason, but for sowing, so that your resources or the increase of the harvest of your righteousness, which that shows, I would say, goodness, kindness, it shows love. Yeah, you will be enriched in every way so that you may be generous. And this generosity through us is producing what? Thanksgiving to God. That means it's glorifying God from those who benefit. All right, so again, we have these blessings to give God the glory. How are you putting your blessings into people's lives where they can give God the glory, right? They might not even know him like you know him, but they can see, especially if you tell them, like, man, I do this because God has gifted me.
Yes.
Right? I utilize this because God has given it to me. They're going to say, well, bless your God, right? They say something. Wow, well, Lord, bless your ministry. But either way, you're giving glory back to God. That's what it's about, all right? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 10. I told you I got some verses for you today, right? Yeah, Brother Weston smiling. He's like, man, now I'm writing the verses. I'm not used to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm throwing them out there. But let's serve to bring that God glory, all right?
All right.
So 1 Peter 4 and 10, it says, just as each one of you has received a gift, a special gift from God. Again, look at yourself. What have you been gifted with? What do you have that maybe your neighbor doesn't have? What have you been gifted with? It might be a spiritual talent, ability graciously given by God. Either way, he tells us in this verse, employ it in serving one another as is appropriate for good stewards of God's multifaceted. That's a big word. Multifaceted. Yes, you have been blessed in multifaceted ways. And he says, grace. Faithfully using that diverse or varied gifts and abilities granted to Christians by God's unmerited favor, all right? So again, being those good stewards, it just reminds us to give glory back to it. Now, in this verse, it gets into different gifts someone may have, and some of you all might be sitting here, maybe some of the kids here, you're like, I don't got much, I don't have much. All right, but if you look in that scripture, it talks about even if you just are speaking, it says, speak as you are speaking the oracles of God. What it's saying is, listen, everybody has a voice, and you can bring life into people, or you can bring death into people, right? You can speak good of one another, or you could bash people behind their back, right? That tongue, everyone has a gift of that. And you know, there's people who are mute, but they could do sign language that could tear people down, all right? So either way, we all have, we don't have to look so big at, well, do I have a spiritual gift, have a spiritual gift? No, you all been blessed with some basic things, all right? And we can use it wisely, or we can use it unwisely. And that's what goes into the next verse, and this will be the last one we discuss. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. You know, it talks, the Bible tells us how we need to be wise as serpents, right? Harmless as doves, right? We really, when we talk about being wise and cunning, all right? Listen, a snake, you may say naturally has that, all right? But a child of God does not naturally have some of that. We have to work to attain some of that. Sometimes we can be so far up in the skies already, the Bible tells us to keep our mind, right, and on heavenly things. But that don't mean that we can't be earthly good, right? So we have to think and be strategic in finding ways to give glory to God. We can sit here and say, well, I'm praying for opportunities, but those opportunities aren't coming. No, you aren't looking for those opportunities. They are there. They are there. So in this verse, he says, therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, not as the unwise, but as wise. That means sensible, intelligent, discerning people. We're making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. So he's telling us here, we need to make the most out of our time, our opportunities. But yeah, something that I have to teach myself. I got to get better at. There's times, don't get me wrong, we have leisure time. You heard in my bio, it said in his leisure, it sounded like he said laser, but that's his accent, all right? Don't get mad at Brother Webster. But it said in his leisure, all right? Yeah, I like basketball. I like art. I like watching movies. I even like some video games. I do those things. But even then, after a while, I'm like, all right, how am I making the most out of my time, right? Because again, we say it to sinners, right? We say it to sinners, you may not have another time to get right with God. Y'all hear it, right? We say it. So I remember my dad, he told, if anybody may know him, Tony Smith. He's a member of Sheldon Heights, and he told me a story. He said, you know, your dad got me. He said, how did he get you? He said, because I was talking to him, and we were having a Bible study, and I said, yeah, all right, I think I'm ready. He said, yeah, you ready today? He said, I'm going to come back next week. And he said, you might not be here next week. Now, he thought he's saying, you might not be coming. And he turned around and he said, oh, I'm coming, I'll be here. And he said, my dad put the fear of the Lord in him. He took him by the shoulder and he said, you might not be here next week. And he said, it kind of shook him up, you know, because he's like, oh, you talking about I might not live to next week. See, we don't like to think of our mortality. Mm-hmm. But it happens. It has to happen.
Yes.
Amen.
So when is it going to be us? When are we going to get real with our mortality? And when are we going to live our lives with a sense of urgency that these first century, these Christians lived their life because they didn't know what was going to happen next. They didn't know when they were going to get thrown in jail, when they were going to get separated from their families, when they were going to be put on the stake. We got it good here, right? Very comfortable here. That's why it's important to put our own, we have to do it ourselves. Put that urgency on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Continue to read the scriptures. See the things that Paul, Peter, the rest of those apostles had to go through, and fill yourself in them so that you can have that same sense of energy. Like, what am I doing with my time?
Yeah.
Right? Do I cry? Now, you may not cry. You know, tears might not come down. But do you have a sense of when your soul sees people living like they don't know no better? Or they don't know God? You know, how Jesus looked upon the people and he says, these people are like just sheep without a shepherd. Mm. They don't know their left hand from their right. So we need to look at the world like that and be like, man, we can do better. We can strategize. We can do better with our time. So that's something that we have to do. I can't do it for you.
Yeah.
I got to look at my own life and say, what can I do better? Mm-hmm. So now I want to say, and I'm going to end, all right? How Can we be good and faithful stewards of what God has given us?
Yes.
Again, these are things we need to ask ourselves, all right? Number one, why did he give you? Or you got to ask yourself, why did he give me what I have? So that is those skills, abilities, and possessions, all right? Number two, why did he place me where I am? Now, you may say, well, I chose to move here. I chose to move here. All right. Why are you allowed to be where you are then? All right. So, I mean, those places, whether it's the church you go to, the church family you belong to, whether it's a school you go to, mm-hmm. a class you're in, why is God allowing you to be in that class? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Why is God allowing you to be in the community you live in? You have to think about that. Why did he give you the circle of influence you have? That means the people around you. Why did he do that? Why did he give you the time and opportunity to you have? So again, these questions lead you to the answer. Huh? And you could answer these yourself. But you got to be honest with yourself, all right? Because yeah. some of us be like, well, I did not choose to be here. You're right. God may have you there. I heard a sister talking about her job, right? Just in the Bible class. These people around me, right? A lot of them racist, a lot of them prejudice. It's bigger than you sometimes. Amen. It's bigger than you. Amen. Why does God have you there? Amen. Maybe it's to change somebody's heart. Mm-hmm. Right? So. Maybe it just may be one person, but either way, God rejoices, heaven rejoices when just one soul is brought to God. Mm-hmm. So again, think about it. Even in your family, you're like, well, I didn't ask for these brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Utilize what you do have. I'm not saying you got to waste. The Bible talks about throwing your seeds, right? Or casting gold and things like that to the swine. Listen, when they don't accept it, it is what it is. Shake the dust off your feet. Keep it moving. Don't spend too much time. I know you love certain people, but guess what? The world is full of lost people. And everybody's God's child. And I don't think Jesus could make it any clearer when people said, your brothers, your mom is out there waiting for you. And what did Jesus answer? He said, no, my real brothers, my real sisters, my real family are those who are obedient to God.
Yes, sir.
So again, he made the focus on, listen, it's all people who are willing to obey. So again, do not spend too much time wasting too much time on those who are not accepting the gospel. Give it to them. Throw some seed out there like Jesus did. He didn't spend too much time debating with those Pharisees and Sadducees. He put something out there. Let them think about it. I'll just throw out one. So for instance, those people were wondering. And he had good questions to ask. And sometimes we can do that. The Sadducees. And he asked them. He said, you know, who do people say, right, the Son of God is? Or he didn't say that. He said, who do people say that the Messiah, right, the Christ, was to be the anointed one? And they said, well, he's to be the Son of David. And he said, So now I read that it says, and David said this himself. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, right? Sit on my right side until I make all these, your enemies a footstool for your feet. So he tested it. He says, so how could that be David's son? And that made people think. And they said, Now, he didn't give them the whole answer. Sometimes people got to think for themselves. Right? But either way, you are planting a seed in their mind. You might be shaking them up. You put something in their life where it cannot be exactly the same if you did not come there. So again, that's just making the impact that we do have. All right. Mm-hmm. So again, I bid you to ask, whether you are young, I'm looking at this young man here, whether you are seasoned, you have an ability you have that you did not have or you might not have later. It's just the case, all right? Some of you say, okay, I don't have much. You have something that you will not have 5 years from now. You have something that you did not have 10 years right before. Everybody has to be content with the station in their life at the moment and utilize where you are, who you are around, what God has placed in you, because those talents you think you have right now may not be there all the time.
Yes, yes.
So guess what? Look at where you are, who you are around, what you were given right now. You might look at somebody else's talent, you say, I wish I could sing like that. Mm-hmm. God has put something in your life, guess what, that they don't have. You might have wisdom that they don't have. I don't care how good Beyonce can sing, guess what? You know some things that Beyonce don't know. Mm-hmm. right? So again, empower yourself. Know that God has already graced you with so much. You have to be good steward, good manager of it.
Yes, sir.
Again, number one, you got to recognize what you have and what God's placed in your life. Mm-hmm. That makes you grateful. Yeah. And it makes you want to do something. Number two, you have to understand again those questions. Why do I have what I have, right? Why is he allowing me? After all these sins I committed, I'm still alive. People live righteous and, you know, they get one chance and it's like, wow. You read about those stories in the Bible, right? They make one mistake. God takes them out. Oh. All right. Well, look, you're still here. God still has work for you. And I bid you, I'm going to definitely say this for Brother Webster, I bid you first and foremost to put those talents, that time, those abilities into the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
And then we could have people singing a song that David was singing there where he says, oh, what? Who are we? Mm-hmm. Why you give us all this? Mm-hmm. Man, we just give it back to you. Until this day, there's not much out there that could compare to Solomon's temple. And I'm telling you, when we put our gifts together, when we put our time together, when we put our possessions together, our abilities, there's not much out there that could withstand the church that the Lord built.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen.
So again, hopefully that's encouraging to you. Hopefully if you did not know you had something to offer, you know. You have something to offer. We all have something to offer. And when you offer, you can be happy like they were. You can be joyful. And guess what? The good thing is, you may think you're releasing something, and you say, well, the more I give, I'm giving my time, so I don't have much. Guess what? We just read, God will give you abundantly more. Mm-hmm. So when you give, you can't outgive God. Right? And I hope everybody is made, you know, just a little more bold. To go out there and be somebody.
Yes, sir.
For the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that's the lesson. Maybe you just have not been living inside your purpose. Alright? It doesn't matter. I don't care what you did. I don't care how far you strayed away. We never want to look down on the blood of Christ. His blood cleanses us of all sin. I don't care what you think you did and how far you strayed. You are still living for a reason. Because he's giving you time to come back to him.
Yes, sir.
Today is the day. Come to him. Give your life back to him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's not too late yet. Maybe you haven't even become a child of God yet. Mm. Yes, he reigns on the just and unjust. Yes, you receive some blessings right now, but you are outside of Christ. You are without hope. You just lost in the world. And he says, when you're lost in the world and you die in your sins, there's nothing after that. But a fearful judgment falling into the wrath of God. Yes. And there's nothing worse than falling into the hands of a wrathful God.
Yes.
Yes, God is love. But he wouldn't be just if he did not punish sin.
Amen.
God gave his son for you and me. Take him up on that offer. How do you do it? Well, you need to run. I'm not talking about walk up here. You need to run up here. I don't care who's looking at you. Run, because this is your life at stake.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And if you don't care about your life, what else do you care about? Run, this is your soul at stake. How do you come to him? Believe that he is the Son of God. Believe that he died on your sins.
Yes,
he was
sir.
The anointed one, the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a prophet, the Son. You have to believe that. You have to repent of your sin. That means turn from your sin, turn to him. Turn from building your own kingdom, turn to building his kingdom.
Yes.
You have to repent. Also, you have to confess. Mm-hmm. Be willing to confess him, that he is the Son of God before people. Because he said, if you confess him, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Now, if you don't do that, you're going to be trying to get in that party. But guess what? He's going to look at you and say, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. Get away from me. Hmm. Bad thing to hear. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the truth.
Yes, sir.
Run to him. And last but not least, you need to be baptized into the Lord. Baptized into his body. How do you do that? It's immersion. Mm-hmm. It's immersion. It's a burial. We can do that today. Your sins washed away. You become a child of God. You are empowered. And you have the family of God around you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he says, when he is for you, no man.
Oh, yes.
No weapon formed against you. Now, it cannot withstand. God is for you. You are for God. You need to come now. Whatever your need may be, as we stand, sing the song invitation, I bid you to come.
Tempted and tried.